Okay, let's get right into this. We are at a tipping point. I mean, an economic tipping point. AI isn't just for factory floors anymore. It's not automating manual labor.
Yo.
It is actively automating cognitive, creative service work, the very jobs we all thought were, safe, protected by uniquely human skills.
And it's not a future hypothetical anymore, is it? It's
Yeah.
really happening right now, almost overnight.
Yeah, we saw that with Thomas, the writer we read about. His team was cut.
By 20%. And the replacements weren't other writers.
No, they were Claude and ChatGPT.
And the logic from the company side is just brutally simple.
Thomas even said it himself, right? The AI isn't as good as him, not yet.
But it's well enough for the price.
And it works 24/7, never complains, and it definitely never asks for a raise.
Which forces us to look at this really uncomfortable truth, sort of the foundation of modern society, especially in the West.
The idea that human labor equals human value.
Exactly. If you're not producing, the system tells you, implicitly,
You know, Matt.
you don't matter. So what happens when that production, that output, can be done by a machine for cheap?
That is the mission for this deep dive. We're connecting this immediate crisis, the layoffs, the crisis of meaning, to a philosophical warning from a really unlikely source.
Daft Punk.
Daft Punk, their entire 25-year artistic journey.
It's fascinating. They became robots to explore what it means to be human in a world that's obsessed with technology. Their art is like a prophecy we're living through right now.
So that's what we're going to do. We'll explore the automation of white-collar work, this philosophical trap of workism, the Daft Punk warning, and then ask the big question.
Can we build a world where human value is based on just existing, not on, what you can produce?
All right, let's start with the hard numbers, the economic reality.
Yeah, the data is pretty stark. That 2023 McKinsey report,
Yeah.
it estimated that by 2030, something like 30% of work hours could be automated.
30%.
And that's a conservative take because people hear automation and they think, oh, my job is going to disappear completely.
Yeah, but that's not how it works.
No, it's about task automation. Think about a radiologist. An AI might only take on, say, 40% of their diagnostic work.
But if that 40% is the most repetitive, time-consuming part.
Exactly. All of a sudden, you need 40% fewer radiologists to handle the same caseload.
And historically, we've always handled this by just shifting people. Agriculture automated, people moved to
With the
factory.
factories automated, we move them into service jobs.
Jobs that needed creativity, judgment, emotional intelligence, the human stuff.
But that's the thing. That's what's being automated now, those soft cognitive tasks. We're kind of running out of places to shift people to.
Which creates these really bizarre economic situations.
Like the trucking industry.
It's the perfect example. There's this massive driver shortage, right? 80,000 open jobs.
Because the job itself has become brutal. Long hours, low pay relative to the lifestyle, and every single minute is tracked by an optimization score.
So instead of using money to make the job better and attract human drivers,
The industry is just pouring billions into self-driving tech. The logic is, let's not fix the human variable. Let's eliminate it.
it feels like a deliberate cycle. You make the job so undesirable that you can then justify replacing the worker entirely.
It is a vicious cycle.
Yeah.
And the personal cost is just huge. We read about Marcus, a 48-year-old driver.
Yeah.
He said he feels like his 2 decades of expertise are suddenly worthless. His knowledge of the road, the machine. It's just being valued at zero.
So, if the system devalues Marcus's physical expertise, what happens when it devalues someone's cognitive identity? That's the real meaning crisis.
It's this idea that Derek Thompson calls workism.
The new religion.
It really is.
Yeah.
Work isn't just how you make money, it's your identity, your community, your meaning, your status. It's how we find fulfillment now.
So, when the job disappeared,
You evaporate with it. That's what happened to Jennifer, the 34-year-old legal researcher.
her firm got an AI research tool.
And suddenly her whole role was redundant. And she described this profound personal breakdown.
She said she felt completely empty, worthless.
Because her entire identity was tied to what she produced at that firm. When that was gone, she didn't know who she was.
And intellectually, she knew her value as a person hadn't changed.
Of course.
Yeah.
But the social feedback loop, the system we've built, it tells you otherwise. If you're not producing, you are failing.
Which is, it's exactly the anxiety that Daft Punk was exploring 20 years ago.
Absolutely. Especially in Interstellar 5555, the film for their Discovery album.
I love that film. The story of this blue alien band. They're just pure artists, full of joy.
And they get abducted, taken to Earth, their memories are wiped, and they're repackaged.
As the Crescendos. A soulless, manufactured pop act. Their whole identity, their output, it's all dictated by this ruthless producer.
But such a powerful metaphor for what's happening. Are we all being turned into Crescendos? Our unique, messy human parts are being wiped clean.
And our value is just based on a single metric. Scalable, predictable output.
And that pressure to optimize everything, it bleeds out of the workplace. It's not just about jobs.
No, it's about the widgetization of the human experience itself.
Yeah, think about Elena, the software developer. Her entire day is managed by apps.
An app for sleep scores, for meditation streaks, for her diet.
Even relationship apps that gamify emotional labor.
Right, like prompts to express gratitude or tracking check-ins with your partner.
And Elena said it works. You know,
yeah.
There's less conflict. It's consistent. But she feels it's mechanical. She knows what the app says connection is supposed to look like, but she doesn't actually feel it.
And that's the critique from philosophers like Dr. Sarah Kim, right? When you optimize everything.
Emotions become data points. Relationships become problems to solve. Suffering becomes an inefficiency to eliminate.
But being human is messy. It's contradictory. It's painful.
And if you smooth out all that messiness,
mm-hmm.
you smooth out the humanity along with it.
This obsession with speed, with optimization, it reminds me of Paul Virilio's theory.
Drumology.
Yeah, the idea that speed itself controls the world. It compresses reality and makes us obsessed with now.
And that is the perfect lens for Daft Punk's next album, Human After All.
Oh, that album is so different from Discovery.
Completely. If Discovery was the colorful, hopeful dream of becoming a robot, Human After All was the cold, harsh emotional collapse that comes after.
It's so dark. Raw, minimalist, repetitive. They made it in 6 weeks, apparently.
And that sound, that aggressive, unrelenting, synthetic sound, it's the feeling of Drumology. It's burnout captured in music.
The music is basically asking over and over, where's the hurt and the pain?
Exactly. It's the sound of the human spirit just screaming against the efficient machine it built for itself. They showed it's the nightmare that follows the dream of optimization.
So if productivity is being taken over by the machine and the system rewards this brutal optimization, how do we get back to valuing humans?
Well, you have to start with policy that just breaks the link.
Where?
Decouple income from labor.
Universal basic income.
UBI.
It's an economic floor, but it's really a philosophical statement. And the pilots we've seen in Kenya, Finland, Stockton, they're very encouraging. People don't just stop working and sit around.
No, they use that stability to pursue meaningful things. Starting small businesses, making art, organizing their communities, caregiving.
But there's a problem there.
It's a huge one. Dr. Chen, the economist, pointed it out.
All those meaningful things, caring for an elderly parent, writing a poem, cleaning up a park, they don't generate measurable GDP.
They're invaluable for human well-being, but economically they're invisible. So to value them, you need a philosophical revolution in how we measure success as a country.
And that revolution is needed most in the one area of work that's almost impossible to automate.
Care work?
Taking care of children, the elderly, providing emotional support. It requires a human presence, touch, empathy.
It requires time that doesn't scale. And our system just hates that. It deeply undervalues it.
Maria, the home health aide, she makes, what, $15 an hour?
Barely.
Mm.
And she's literally keeping vulnerable people alive.
Yeah. And she said she feels insulted. That her work is the most human thing there is, but society values what a software engineer does 100 times more.
Because that scales. That generates profit. Maria's one-on-one human connection doesn't fit on the spreadsheet.
It's the core paradox, isn't it? If everything that scales is automated, then the unscalable, unoptimized, intensely human labor should become the most valuable thing left.
It should. But the system is fighting that realization with everything it has.
So what does this all mean for you, for the listener? I mean, this labor crisis is forcing us to ask a question we haven't seriously asked in centuries.
What is the intrinsic value of a human being if it's not tied to what they can produce?
For so long, we've focused on the measurable, the scalable, the productive.
But the things that actually make us human, consciousness, care, suffering, they are not clean data points.
And Thomas Bangalter, after Daft Punk split up, he just said it so perfectly.
He said they became machines to protect their humanity.
We tried to use these machines to express something extremely moving that a machine cannot feel but a human can. We were always on the side of humanity.
And his final warning. It's just chilling. He said, the last thing I would want to be in the world we live in 2023 is a robot.
They put on the masks to avoid becoming emotionally machine-like while the rest of us are actively choosing to become more like machines, optimizing everything.
We're trying to eliminate every inefficiency, every mess.
And the human answer, the way out, might be in what Thomas, the laid-off writer, did.
Yeah. 3 months after losing his job, he stopped trying to optimize his resume. He stopped trying to solve the problem quickly.
He just felt it. He let himself feel the grief and the pain of losing his identity.
That hurt. That was the point. That messy, unscalable human experience forced him to ask, who am I when I'm not producing anything?
AI can produce. It can optimize.
It can solve problems we can't even comprehend. But it can't grieve. It can't sit with uncertainty. It can't care for another being when it's inefficient to do so. Our capacity to feel all of it, the pain, the joy, the mess, that is our value.
The crisis of labor is really a crisis of meaning. It's forcing a redefinition of human worth.
And if the robots of Daft Punk needed messy human collaboration, like that three-mic setup on Random Access Memories. One for the 60s sound, one for the 70s, one for today.
Even though Bangalter knew that nobody but him would even hear the difference.
Right. If they needed that messy, unoptimized process to bring soul back to their music.
Then what specific, messy, unoptimized thing do you need to bring back into your life right now to affirm your own humanity?
Close your laptop, put down the phone, and just feel something, even if it hurts.
Because that hurt. That's the point.